everyone brought some snacks in case the sermon's long. Would anyone like to play bingo during this, word bingo during this sermon? I've got the opportunity for 10 people to play word bingo, so if you'd like to go up and get a bingo card if you're one of those 10 people, I'll explain how to play, yes, absolutely. Does Aaron want to have a go? Make sure the kids have got an opportunity before I give out too many travels. Have you got one for Aaron? Let me just see. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, thank you. See ya. There we go. Has Jochen got one? Yeah. Okay. There's two. There we are. Brilliant. Okay. It's all right. Don't worry. Okay. So, we've got some bingo pins. So what you need to do... Oh, there's some pens here. If there isn't a pen convenient where you are, so come and get a pen. To win the bingo, and we've got prizes. If parents are happy for kids to receive prizes, we've got some prizes here. You've got to listen out carefully in the sermon, and when you hear a word spoken that's on your bingo card, you can circle it or cross it out, and then when you've completed that, rather than lots of people shouting bingo all the way through the sermon, I invite you to come and just sit on this front row here, so in order. So whoever gets bingo first can sit next to Louisa, and then you can go around like that, and then we'll see everyone that's completed their bingo cards by the end of the sermon. How does that sound? Okay? Pens here, if everybody wants a pen. May have one where you are. Yes, if you don't listen for the words, you're not going to win. Are they just blank? I wonder whether that's the way you see it. I'm not sure, but anyway. Okay, so today we're up to our fourth Happy Attitudes, the Beatitudes series that we're doing at the moment. And we've been learning that the Beatitudes are not a list of moral achievements that we've got to aim for, that we've got to strive for to try and be good. Rather, the happy attitudes or the beatitudes are what they describe what life looks like when our egos loosen their grip, when we let go of our self-centered living a little bit. And when we let go of allow our egos to let go a little bit and loosen their grip, we're able to live from our union with God rather than from fear and from status and or control. So in other words, the Beatitudes describe what life can look like if we trust God and if we stop striving ourselves. Last week, Beth introduced us to a translation of the Beatitudes that used the word flourishing instead of blessed. I love that, flourishing. So today's happy attitude becomes, flourishing are the ones hungering and thirsting for righteousness because they will be satisfied. Let's think for a moment about the nature of flourishing. When we are flourishing as human beings, we are attuned to our true selves, hid with Christ in God. When we are flourishing as human beings, we are growing in alignment and connection with God, with neighbour, and with the whole of creation. When we are flourishing as human beings, we increasingly live in love and therefore share God's compassionate heart for the world. The Beatitudes reveal how living our lives as Jesus lived his life is what leads to human flourishing. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Anyone feeling hungry this morning? Anybody hungering? Anyone hungering for an apple? No? Anyone hungering for some chocolate? Oh, interesting. Okay, we'll come back to that. Anyone feeling thirsty this morning? That's hot. I forgot to bring a glass of water with me. Anyone thirsting for a glass of water? Yeah, actually it might be, to be fair. Anyone thirsting for some cola? Most of us know what it is like to be hungry or thirsty. When we're really hungry, food is all we can think about. Our bellies are rumbling. When we're thirsty, a drink becomes our first priority. I was out walking in the Peak District yesterday in the Hope Valley, and it was beautiful. But my word, it was... I needed plenty of water. It was hot. And I was very thirsty. Jesus uses these powerful images of hunger and thirst to describe a deep longing within us. Not for food or drink, but for righteousness and justice. When we hear the word righteousness, we might think of being good, of following the rules, of trying hard to be holy. those things may have their place, but Jesus is talking about something far bigger and far better. In this verse, righteousness means being in right relationship. Right relationship with God, with ourselves, at peace with ourselves, with other people, and with creation. It means longing for the world to reflect God's love, justice, compassion, and peace. Children know what it's like when something isn't fair and they want to put it right. All that stuff that happens between siblings in particular. Adults know what it's like to see suffering and conflict and loneliness or injustice around the world and wish that things were different. We all carry within us a longing for things to be as they should be. When we see someone being excluded and want to welcome them, we are hungering for righteousness. When we see poverty and want to help, we are hungering for righteousness. When we choose forgiveness over resentment, truth over deception, compassion over judgment, we are hungering for righteousness. The world often encourages us to hunger for other things, for more possessions, for more status, for more recognition, for more power. Yet no matter how much we gain, these things never fully satisfy. Jesus says there is a different hunger that leads to true fulfillment. And the promise that goes with it is remarkable. They will be filled. They will be satisfied. Not because they've fixed everything, not because they've become perfect, but because when we seek the kingdom of God, when we seek righteousness, we align ourselves with God's heart, and we find our fulfillment in experiencing God's love being worked out in our lives. Richard Rohr teaches that we experience transformation not by striving harder, but by learning to see differently. As we see the world through God's eyes, our desires begin to change. We start to hunger less for what we think serves our best interests, and we start to hunger more for what serves love. In so doing, we find that we are blessed. Blessed that our spiritual hunger and thirst are satisfied. Blessed with lives filled with grace, with purpose, with joy, and with hope. So, when we think about righteousness, perhaps the question for us today is not, am I righteous enough? Perhaps the question is, what am I hungry for? Am I only hungry for the junk food of my own success, comfort and security? Or am I hungry for the nutritious and satisfying food of God's justice, God's mercy and God's healing in the world? Jesus tells us that when we hunger and thirst for righteousness, we are already blessed. We are flourishing. Because our hearts are open to the God in whom our deepest hunger and thirst is satisfied. For the fulfillment of God's kingdom is described as a great banquet. Eugene Peterson's rendering draws this out. You are blessed when you have worked up a good appetite for God. He's food and drink in the best meal you'll ever eat. Amen. Fantastic. Who's got bingo? Come on then. Excellent. Congratulations. Is he all right to have some sweets, Mum? Excellent. Yeah, I think you can probably have to just help yourself. There you are. Anybody else got bingo? I've been feeling generous today. Jasper, yeah?
Brilliant.
Lexi, have you got bingo? No? Should we give you some sweets anyway? We're going to let generosity win over, are we? There we go. Sorry? How are you doing? Oh, well done. Brilliant. An apple? Yeah, oh, yes. Yes, that's true, yes. Wonderful. There you go. Did anybody else have a go at bingo? There we are. Oops, sorry. Did you? Oh, well done. There you are. Marvellous. Thanks. Well done, Adesh. Fantastic. There we go. Thank you, everybody. Back to Louisa.